Outstanding Guardians win yesterday. Andres Jimenez, a hero for Cleveland to remember. That was Austin Hedges talking about Terry Francona. Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, put that in perspective. Wasn't Hedges on the World Series?
Yes.
Winning team last year?
Thank you very much for doing that for me.
I wasn't with them the entire season, right? But
came up from Pittsburgh.
That's pretty staggering.
Now that we're an hour into the show, can I ask this? Because I didn't want to do it because I thought it'd be too mean-spirited at the beginning of the show. You think Miles Straw felt a little awkward?
Oh, celebrating.
A little awkward? Just a little bit?
You know what? It's interesting.
Just a little?
He's been in Columbus the whole year, right?
Yeah.
Right. So he's been with these guys. I mean, a lot of the guys were in celebrating there last night, too. But those guys actually were on the team a lot sooner.
And he was with a lot of these guys the previous seasons with the Guardians.
That's true. So organizationally, like Straw.
The one guy that he doesn't know in the locker room is Stephen Vogt.
And his first tour of duty was getting picked off. First time he was trusted to do something.
You're going to have that. Sucks
to be him. Whoopsie daisy!
That doesn't suck to be him. He's making nearly $5 million this year, and he got to celebrate after showing up 2 days in. So he got free champagne.
We laugh.
Free suds as well, it seems.
We scoff. We shake our head at Miles Straw. Is there a chance he turns it all around with a big moment in the postseason?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. There's always a chance. There's always a chance he becomes one of the greatest heels of all time. There's a chance that he becomes notorious. That's the beauty of sports.
Yeah.
Like, he looks... That's why I hate live commentary tweeting during games, because there's always going to be a moment where they make you look like an ass. And so nasty things during a game. I used to say nasty things during a game. Now there's no point. There's no point, because you're always going to get a second chance. So as much as we can ridicule Straw, yeah, he's going to have a chance to be Bucky Dent, or he's going to have a chance to be Michael Martinez. Like, he's going to have the chance to be that. So that's part of the beauty of it. I think that for what he is, it's just I saw the pictures. I'm going, you don't think he feels a little awkward? Just a little bit where he just got caught up?
I'd like to see his level of celebrating compared to everybody else.
Well, you got to celebrate the whole way through. You can't just sit there and be.
But I'm sure there were guys yesterday that were going balls to the walls.
Yeah. Yes. They're young men.
There might have been some other guys a little more reserved. I wonder if there were some veterans who were like, all right, this is
Josh
cool.
Naylor.
Let the young guys do it.
Very reserved in the post game stuff.
That is really interesting.
He was like the proud papa, because I think we forget how long he's been around. I mean, he had a big series against the Yankees in like 2018. He was part of that, and that was when he was a young guy. He's been around for a while. Naylor's the veteran of this.
Wow.
Of this everyday lineup, right?
Yeah, but Austin Hedges is like 137 years old, and he looked like the guy hosting the mud wrestling in stripes yesterday.
I think he's a different breed of guy, though, too. I think Naylor is reserved until it's time to come unhinged, and then he is unhinged.
Well, you saw the home run the other night.
Right.
I mean, it was awesome. And you could put a compilation video of all his...
Even when they did the chase down of Jimenez on the field, they cut back to Naylor, and he was just kind of slowly walking out there, watching it all, seeing how, probably reflecting about how when he was the young guy on the team and them making the playoffs, and now he gets to be in that spot, you know, with Jose and all those guys, the older guy.
I think for Guardians fans, though, like, there's been a lot of there has not been as much tough-talking Gardos fans as there have been in years past. And I think that that's probably because if you are a man of a certain age, I think a lot of people are surprised of what they've done. Anybody of any age has got to be a little bit surprised of what they've done. I don't care. It's been a fantastic season. They've been glorious. It's been fun every step of the way. There's been a couple of times. Fun in terms of exciting. Sometimes people got nervous. I got nervous. But I thought it was fantastic. And everybody else did. But now that you see where the season is, I think still some people are going, okay, well, we've been here before. They're excited. They want to do well, but they're not going to sit there and trash talk other franchises. Because I don't think nobody's going to be a 100-game winner. Nobody is just that much more dominant over anybody else in the American League anyway. And because, hey, I'll say this personally, I've tried to talk tough before, and I made myself out to be a complete ass before in doing that. There was a couple of people right after they won. They were like, "Bring on the Yankees, Ken." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I can't do that." I will say I'm more concerned about the Astros because it's the Astros, and there's some weird thing based on their history, based on everything else that makes me nervous about them. But I'm not going to say bring on anybody. I think that the Guardians have as good a chance as anybody, or even better than some. But there's no trash talking from me, and I really don't see any trash talking coming from many fans out there.
I think fans, when they hear it from your mouth, what you just said, that they've got as good of a chance as anybody.
Then they should believe that.
I think they absolutely should believe that. I don't know that they do. I don't know that they do right now. It's one of the things we've been grappling with over the last month and a half, especially because they've been kind of treading water for so long until, you know, this last week, that they had been a 500 team for so long.
Why wouldn't they feel that way?
I think it's just based on that. I think they had seen them kind of win two, lose two, and it had continuously been in that mode now for the last almost 2.5 months, really 3 months.
Well, you've played better opponents though. You had, when Owen did the strength of schedule there, you've played better teams. So you're going to have some of that. I mean, they didn't have as much, and the White Sox they struggled with this year, but they've had some of that here. So yeah, if you're playing better teams, you're obviously not going to have as great a record because they're better teams.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not hearing people on a daily basis when we talk to anybody say, this is the team that's going to win the World Series. This is the team that's going to break through.
Because I think guys our age have said that a couple of times and they've been burned. I think that we have a long memory. We remember the series changing after Edwin Encarnacion. We remember a lot of these things, and I think we get worked up about it.
By names and just by the visual and the pitching staffs, we've had better teams, right? I should say on paper, but statistically, these guys offensively have been really good.
Yeah.
But we've had better teams in this on paper. The difference, though, I think is
we've had one of the all-time great teams on paper.
But the American League is more wide open this year.
It's all out there for you. But I think that some people, because of the history, are not saying as much. But I think that if you watch the way this team has played over the last couple of months, since the All-Star break, even going through the 7-game losing streak and a couple of those other things, the starting rotation is solidified a little bit. Other guys have picked up the slack for some people who you learned to count on at the beginning of the year that weren't able to, whether it would be valleys of hitting or whether they were banged up. Look at Stephen Kwan. You know, when's he going to be able to come back and be healthy again? Josh Naylor isn't nearly as bad as what anybody wants to make him out to be. It's just his strikeouts look ridiculous because they pound him with outside and low, and he takes hell hacks and swings out of his shoes. But he's a fine ball player and awesome to watch, fun to watch. But the bullpen has been still great. Class A is a Cy Young caliber closer, which in a lot of ways you can make an argument that he should win the Cy Young. And your starting rotation, I do not have nearly the fear of the starting rotation that I did before. That they are going to be terrible, that this thing's going to fall apart, that they would be our undoing for this season. Alex Cobb has been a nice enough addition if his fingers could just stay without blisters.
I'd like to see him throw one more in the regular season without
we got to get the kid back
to the IL afterwards.
We got to get the guy pickle juice. I mean, that's what Nolan Ryan used to do. He used to bring your pickles. Soak his fingers in pickle juice. I'm serious. He got pickles over there. Soak his fingers in pickle juice. If it was good enough for Nolan Ryan, it's good enough for him. Matt Boyd has been fantastic for us. You got to get Gavin Williams a little bit straightened out. Tanner Bibee has been pretty decent. You have Ben Lively, who's doing his very damnedest. I think he's pitching through an injury right now, but he's doing his very damnedest. I mean, you've been able to solidify things with your starting rotation a little bit. So I think people are just staying quiet because they know that this team is capable of something. And I think they want their team to do well. They're hopeful, but they're just not going to be out there shouting it from the rooftops.
I know,
and
it's just it's
talking
atypical.
Tough with everybody.
It's atypical though for this town. When we get a team that this late in the year is having this kind of a season, and to put it in perspective, I mean they have a chance at the one seed, the overall one seed in the American League. When we have a team like that, we are thinking Super Bowl. We are thinking NBA championship. I'm not hearing that right now from the fans, and I'm wondering if they're going to start to go in that direction now here that start to focus in, start to get dialed in on what this team is doing?
I think they are. I think that a lot of people, again, are dialed in, and they will be loud and boisterous for the postseason, but I think there's a difference between loud and boisterous and talking trash to everybody. The years before, we talked a lot of trash to a lot of people, especially like when the White Sox, they gave up the division, and everybody thought the White Sox were supposed to win the division just a handful of years ago. But I think that this team will be locked in. I think the fan base will be locked in. There's still more work to do. I think the people want to get that number one seed too.
If the Browns were this late in the season and had a one seed or two seed, we'd be saying Super Bowl every day. Every call would be, we're going to win the Super Bowl. We're not getting that with the Guardians, and I'm curious why.
Speaking of baseball, and we're talking a lot of baseball, can I just share with you something real quick? I was sitting there yesterday. Liz was watching Gilmore Girls, as she's want to do to try to go to sleep. And for whatever reason, I remembered the scene, and I said, it's got to be one of the wildest scenes I've ever seen in the history of me watching movies. And it's the part in Dazed and Confused when O'Banion and the rest of the seniors, with beers, with drinks, go to a Little League baseball game with a beer in one hand and a paddle in the other and heckle Mitch while he's pitching, threatening to paddle him from the stands while he's pitching. And Mitch, in Emmanuel Class A form, locks in and finishes up the game. While his own teammates are like, can you leave through the back gate? Because we don't want to get paddled either. And nobody in this town has any compunction with it whatsoever. Like, they go through the handshake line, and O'Banion's got the paddle, and he's whacking the railing going, you're going to get yours, yelling at him. And they got beers in one hand, and there's not one Little League coach like, hey, man, they're going to go beat that kid in the parking lot. Like, you guys, should we stop? No, nope, not at all. No, it's the weirdest thing to me. It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm just saying, it's a wild scene.
I don't think I've seen that movie in like 15 years.
Oh, my God. You got to see. When you see it, you're going to go, heck, heads right. This is it's a Little League game at night. The stands are full. Full.
At a Little League game.
At a Little League game. Nice stadium. And nobody at all has any problem with high school kids drinking behind the dugout with paddles in their hand, openly saying they're going to be beating the pitcher after the game. Not a word. Nothing. One of my favorite scenes of baseball. One of my favorite scenes of movies. I had to get that off my chest. I know that's completely out of right field, and you have nothing to say about that, and I'm going to move on, but I had to get that one off my chest. Because it's just so wild to me. Anyway, Mitch Kramer got what was coming to him. Daryl Ryder joins us at 8 o'clock, 216-474-0092. Okay, going back to the Guardians, like, is it speak softly and carry a big stick? We got some commentary here from a Browns wide receiver coming up here in moments, but I want to get to some of these calls on some of these fans about how the Guardians, they win a spot to go to the playoffs. I do think, real quick, and I say this before we go to the phones, I do think part of it where people are excited, they're boisterous. They're excited. They're not talking trash. I think part of it is that there's still more unfinished business. They got three more. The magic number's at three before they actually win the Central Division. And I think a lot of people are holding out for that first round bye for them.
Oh, it's huge.
In the
it's
postseason.
Absolutely huge.
So it's exciting to see it. It's great to make the postseason. But I think some people are holding out for more. And you always want a little bit more to put yourself in a better position for the postseason. I completely understand that. Eric in Strongsville, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Love to be talking baseball in mid-September here. This is awesome.
It's great. Go ahead, Eric.
I think the reason that makes me so excited about this team is also the reason why I'm not, like, getting in people's face, like my brother-in-law's face, who's a Yankees fan, right? And he's from New York, so it's justifiable, at least in this case. But
yeah, not like in Mitch's case.
I think the reason is you got to look at how they won games. They're middle of the pack in differential. You don't get 40-something, 50-something saves if you're Emmanuel Clase, if you're blowing teams out all year. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason why I'm so excited is the fact that this team's never out of it. They can win any ball game. They can beat you 1-2. They can beat you 3-1. I think that's part of the reason why, you know, if you're not really beating up on teams, if you don't score a ton of runs, it's a different kind of baseball. It's definitely a different kind of baseball to, you know, if you're going to be really loud and obnoxious and confident about it. And I think the other piece of the puzzle, too, is for the first half of the season when we're playing our best baseball, I think caught a lot of people by surprise. We didn't know if it was for real. When people started tuning in, all right, we kind of got into the doldrums. And then if you don't look around the league, if you don't watch, you know, other teams, you don't realize that this second half that we're having is no different than, I mean, Baltimore is going through an awful stretch right now. The Yankees have gone through some awful stretches. But if all you do is watch the Indians, and it's, or the Guardians, and it's a regional sport, you don't realize this thing's up for the taking. We're playing the same ball as everybody else, if not better, and we can beat you in any type of ball game.
Well, we have, Eric, you're right. We have Ken Wyman on during Around the AFC North every other week because we have Bob Haney the other week. And Ken tweets a lot about the Orioles games, like, live on. So I get an inkling about how well or how bad the Orioles are doing. And, like, it just snuck up on me the other day. It's like, well, God, they're not good recently. I mean, they're really struggling here. And the Orioles at one point were one of the hottest teams in baseball, or if not the hottest team in baseball. The Astros, I do think, are kind of going under the radar a little bit for some. But because they're the Astros, I think that that's going to rear its ugly. And, Eric, thank you for the call. I think that's going to rear its ugly head next week. But when you're watching the Guardians, I think some of the other teams are out of sight, out of mind. So you focus on some of the things that maybe your favorite team isn't doing well, and we don't always realize that other teams are not doing very well in those senses. It sucks that the Yankees are starting to kick at just the right time. I think they lost last night, but I think they're 8-2 or 7-3 in their last 10. It sucks that they're starting to kick here, but for you, you're very well off right now. You're doing well, and again, the bullpen has been great. Bullpens can fluctuate. Starting rotation has really started to even out here and give you some solid outings as you move forward throughout this season. And I think they give me a little bit more confidence moving into the postseason. Jim and Perry, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, Jim. Go ahead.
So I'm super pumped about baseball in October. I absolutely love watching the Guardians play. The only thing that I'm worried about is their offense. I mean, it's the only thing that, like, I'm talking myself off the ledge. It's already like they're playing October baseball with, you know, these 2, 3, maybe 4 runs. But I'm not worried about the pitching at all, including the starters, because our pitchers the last 2 weeks, even 3 weeks, have been absolutely phenomenal. But other than that, I mean, let's look at, like, do you think Steven Vogt in the playoffs starts walking, you know, those big hitters like Gunnar Henderson, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto? I mean, that's a question I wanted to ask you originally, is that how do you think his managerial experience is going to change in the postseason?
Well, if we play the Yankees, like, you can't walk both of them, can you? Like, it's Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, 2 and 3 in that lineup.
The last time we played them, Ken, they belted back-to-back home runs in 2 straight games in the first inning.
I didn't say pitch to both of them. I said you can't walk both of them, right? I said that, didn't I? Maybe I was saying something different. Jim, you can't walk both of them. So you got to pick one to pitch to, don't you? You're going to put 2 on base? What if they're at the top of the inning?
Okay, let me ask you this. Who would you pitch to? Imagine Ken's the manager of the Guardians right now. Who would you pitch to?
I'm going to cop out. I'm going to say I got to wait to see the matchup first.
No, I mean,
I got to see the scouting report. That's a cop out.
Jim,
that's true.
Postseason baseball, you're pitching to guys. You're not just giving free passes every time up. I mean, they'll be playing catch up in every game. If
might as well
that.
Walk 3, and that way you have a play at any base.
Yeah. Hey, Gleyber Torres. I mean you're what going the hell? Up, put him on there.
It's the reality.
Thank you, Jim.
It's reality of postseason. You're going up against guys. I'm hoping Jose Ramirez can catch fire. Here, you know, there've been kind of the whispers growing louder about Jose and some big moments here. Like, he needs to get going. And I will say, like, the Kwan part of this is making me nervous, because what are they going to do at the top of the order? What is going on? I mean, we've got how many games left in the season? Like, Kwan and that back injury is making me nervous, because to make a World Series run, I always just assumed they would need Kwan to get back to, you know, first half of the season, Kwan. Well, if he's injured, you know, you're already throwing a lot at Vogt to try to handle this lineup. We've seen so many dead spots in this lineup and guys that we talked about over the last 2 days that we don't have faith in.
Well, I think that's anybody who has that fear, I think it's a bit of a rightful fear, because you never know when a team's going to go, especially a Guardians team over the last 10 years, you don't know when they're going to go bust when it comes to the lineup. I think that you have more boppers than you've had, and some of that is thanks to John Kenzie Noel. But when you don't have Steven Kwan on, because I thought he was putting more pressure on himself, because the solo home runs started to really get to me during the August stretch when they weren't doing so well. Because you'd give up three, and before it's like, hey, well, you're not out of the game because you have a good offense. Well, part of that offense was Stephen Kwan's getting on, so a home run later by Jose is a two-run homer instead of just a solo shot. And so now you're even home runs, which are exciting, they just don't seem to be enough. You'd rather have somebody on. Well, Stephen can't get on, and I don't know how much faith I have in anybody else, that's going to create a problem for you. And so, yeah, you start to have, hey, we got to win 2-1. Hey, we had to win 1-0, like that sort of thing. Albert Breer was on yesterday. This is becoming a bigger and bigger issue. Talking about the Amari Cooper frustrations. This is yesterday afternoon from Albert Breer.
There was some frustration for him at the end in Dallas. So I think you can certainly keep an eye on it. You know, a lot of times you send a veteran player into a contract year. You know, these sorts of things can happen. Like the player's going to look at it and say, where's the team really at with me? And so I think that all becomes relative to how he plays. So if you can get him going and he's playing well, well then like everybody wins. Because then you're getting a good level of production out of the player, and the player is setting himself up to get paid. And, you know, whether or not you wind up renewing the relationship, you know, in February or March, you at least have everybody on the same page. If he isn't playing well, that's where you can have a problem.
Lima, I want to ask you, how big of a problem is Amari Cooper right now after we hear Albert Breer on the Browns coaches and how they can get Amari Cooper going?
I think it's sort of on the coaches to get him going. And yeah, he's not the only one on offense who's been off to a little bit of a funky start. And, you know, I think, like, you know, you look at, like, the trouble the Browns have had pushing the ball down the field, which, again, can relate to their offensive line issue. I think that's just something you're going to have to keep an eye on. And you hope that, you know, he can get himself out of his rut a little bit and start to play a little bit better. And, you know, then you get, again, into that, like, everyone wins type of situation.
I think it's been an issue the first 2 weeks. I'm not calling it a career for Amari Cooper in Cleveland. Like, he's too good. He's too much of a vet to figure this out. Now, we had seen some numbers, some unverified numbers about his lack of separation that he's created. Kenny, you're the one. You tend to look at those all 22.
I want to see the numbers verified from a source. You read them to me, but you couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you under the bus, but it was some aggregator.
It was somebody else.
I need verified numbers.
But, you know, you watch the tape. Is he not getting there?
I don't pay attention to him. I don't pay hand to God. I pay attention. I've been watching the offensive line. I've been watching James Hudson like a hawk. I've been watching Joe Bitonio because I wanted to get defensive of Joe Bitonio after the first game of the season against Dallas. Like, that's who I've been watching. I take Amari Cooper for granted in a lot of ways, and I think some of this is really overblown. It's not great. He's not started the season off well. But I am not panicking yet with Amari Cooper. I'm just not doing it.
Well, part of it is Jerry Jeudy has come through a little bit here in the early going. I know he hasn't put up monstrous numbers.
But that doesn't affect me.
Well,
it makes it maybe a little bit easier in my subconscious, but yeah, it does not affect my confidence in Amari Cooper yet.
Like, if Jeudy doesn't come back and in those scramble drills and Deshaun Watson locate him and connect on some of those balls, now we're really in a code red situation. Now we're like, what do we have to rely on? Because you're not going to have Njoku this week, right? Looks like next week is hopefully the week we get him back. I think that's part of it. Had Jeudy not have stepped up in a big way, I think the criticisms would maybe be, and some of the concern about your targets would be a little bit louder.
I think that some of this stuff, like with the separation and stuff, maybe there are valid numbers to that. But I saw him targeted 9 times against Dallas. He was targeted 8 times against Jacksonville. That's plenty of targets. And the ball that we're all worried about, he was wide ass open when he dropped that ball. There were callers calling him Monday saying he was going in for 6. I didn't think he was going in for 6, but it still would have been a huge gainer and you're in the red zone.
Yeah.
That's why I think that, hey, it's not about losing a step. Everybody loses a step. He's never been the fastest wide receiver out there, not the slowest. But I worry about the drops. I don't even worry about the dropsies. I just think it's a bad start.
Yeah.
It's a bad start, and maybe he is a little bit distracted. Maybe there are some problems there. I mean, Amari Cooper himself spoke about it. Maybe he just needs to get on the same page with Deshaun Watson.
We can always be more intentional. Like, I went out there yesterday, I treated practice like the game. And that's what I'm going to go and do every single day of practice moving forward. Just treating the practice like the game. I can't say I've necessarily been doing that, but, you know, that's what I got to do.
It might take a little bit longer for others. And this is excuse making for Amari Cooper because his status says how good he is over the last couple of years with the Cleveland Browns.
I know some people might hear that and they might bristle and say, well, shouldn't everybody? All right, veterans who have been in the league as long as he is, they don't always do that. I mean, you get guys that just flat out don't even practice. You know,
Myles Garrett has
it was Myles nice to hear some accountability there.
Yeah,
I mean, I think a guy of his stature, you would expect maybe not him specifically, but just in that stature going, you know, we'll get it on track. It's everything's fine. We'll be okay. You know, just keep hacking at it.
We all have to recalibrate at times to keep ourselves sharp.
But obviously, the one thing that we are, like Albert Breer said, keeping an eye on. Every receiver, they get over the age of 30, you're wondering, when is that drop-off going to be? There are some anomalies and guys like T.O. But for most of them, they start to become really mortal. And we've always looked. There's a reason we look at 30. It's not just because it's a clean-cut number. There's a lot of information, a lot of numbers to suggest that is when you don't have the same expectations for wide receivers. And I'm hoping that's not the case for somebody like Amari.
I want to ask Daryl if he agrees with me. I'm still not worried about Amari Cooper. We'll ask him that at 8. Up next, my son's new nickname, the Hammer.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Well, sometimes you have to ask, hey, where's the bartender? And sometimes you just have to raise your kids to be them. And Kenny is at that point.
It's a fine trade.
Absolutely.
I'm teaching him skills. So,
Did he start off barbacking at least?
No, I got him right. Well, yeah, in a way. Okay. He brings it in from the garage sometimes.
All right.
But
does
he
dispose?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta help
Yeah.
That's good. So you're giving him a promotion here.
Like the waste paper basket in the office. I'm like, take this, go. Goodbye. And I had him fix me a drink. And he says, what'll it be? And I says, what?
Does he have the little mini apron on, too?
No, he doesn't. He should. I just start telling him problems between me and Liz.
What do you want, toots?
What'll it be? And I says, you get to go get a glass. I said, put some ice in it. And he said, about yay big. And then I go, I'm going to put fingers up here. I said, I hate doing it. It's a little cliche, but it's an easy way to show you. I go, three fingers. That many fingers. Jack Daniels. Goes upstairs, comes back down, and I mean, he hands me a glass of whiskey with like one ice cube in it. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, well, you want a whiskey? And I go, son, this is a glass of whiskey.
Yeah.
And he goes, you'll drink the whole thing. Like, that's what he goes, well, he's right. So I'm like, I'm calling it. I took a picture. I took a sip of it. And then I sent a picture to Owen and Lima. I don't know if I showed Mitch. He was, you know, he can't see such things. And I was like, I'm calling him the Hammer. I got to call him the I said, this thing, it was filled to the brim. He didn't spill any. I mean, it was filled to the brim.
And it's not going
to
be all watered down because there's only one cube, not
the
big cube,
right? There was one cube. Yep, there was one cube in that thing. That was the. I sent you guys a picture of another one. I mean, he was filling them to the brim. I was sloshed after like an hour. I was like, what are you doing?
Well done, son.
Well, yeah. It's like, I'm getting my money's worth. If I actually owned a bar, I think I'd be pretty upset with you right now. But other than that,
John Taffer would have a fit.
He'd have the ruler out. The basement down. He would be.
He's got the apps that you just point the iPad at it, and it tells you exactly if you're overserving or underserving.
Yeah, John Taffer single-handedly ruined having fun in bars.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
Now you're getting what you're supposed to get.
Am I wrong?
No.
Or should I go further and have him cut my cigars?
Keep it going. Keep the gravy train going.
I think you're not wrong as long as you are using it as a tool of like, hey, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Like, hey, you need something for your, that's how we do our payoffs. Like, they know I'm not looking at that yard. It better be mowed. Now, at the same time, you need new cleats. You need new whatever for wrestling or whatever. We're getting you guys are trying to compete high there. You get the top end stuff on that. Make sure you take care of the things that we've talked about that you take care of. And if pouring dad a drink is one of those things, then.
He is starting to dial it in a little bit. So last week it got a little bit better. I go, remember what I'm showing you here? Because I'm like, son, you can't just hand me a great big ass glass of whiskey all the time.
Well, you
can't do that.
I mean, you'll take care of it. It's not going to go to waste.
I mean, yeah, but I got to be able to take care of myself in some way here, Tone. I mean, I got, you know, I can't just be sitting there smashing it.
I just look at it from the perspective of, I think it's cool that you're signed. I know some people will listen to this and go, what is cool about this? This is alcoholism. It's running rampant in our country.
I don't care. That's why we're not talking here. Yeah. I don't care.
But
you raise your kids, I raise mine.
But that he wants to please you. And I look to Owen now. At what point do they not want to please you anymore?
That's
what point
do
they not care? Yeah.
It's on and off, but I got a 15-year-old boy right now. And it's not that he doesn't want to please me, but he's a little more vocal about things than he was, you know, 2 years ago.
But it serves a purpose. He wants a little bit of extra money or a few nicer things, and I don't want to go upstairs from my office. So it all works. I don't want to climb the stairs.
Plus, he's going to learn that he ever wants to beat the old man in college football 25, get a little heavy.
Give me a little liquor.
Get rid of the cube.
Yeah, because there's a difference. He plays video games, and I play football, and that's why I embarrass his ass, and my time of possession is through the roof. I'm playing football. He's playing video games. There's a difference. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you guys. Now, are you going to have Izzy fix you a drink?
Well, no.
Like in Mad Men when he has his daughter, Sarah, fix him. Sarah was his daughter's name? Sandy. Sally. Slappy. Samsonite.
God, I hated Sally.
Wow.
Yeah, just, you know, she got a little lip on her when she got older and started figuring out what old Daddy Don was doing.
Yeah, maybe walking in on her dad with a neighbor might have had a little bit to do with that, don't you think? Yeah. Yeah, maybe January Jones weaponizing her had a bit of an issue with
there
that.
There was
don't
some
you
weaponizing.
Think?
Yes, there absolutely was.
Izzy do it?
I don't think Sarah's going to allow me.
Why not?
To have her even just go get me a beer. I just.
Oh, come on.
Sarah's definitely not. She's not going to like that at all. She doesn't like every time I go get a beer, she looks at me in disgust. Can you imagine having the daughter go and get me one?
When she's out running marathons, maybe. You got 3 hour window there.
I have to constantly remind myself I only hear one side of this. He makes it out to be North Korea.
I'd love to hear
there.
Her side of this. I would love.
I would love
not
to
that
hear
I don't
her
hear enough
of
it at home.
And I was wondering what could that possibly be?
Yeah, prohibition in the house. That's what it is.
Sarah Ness.
I'm gonna go over there. She's gonna have a big axe whipping it through some barrel. Coming up next, the dangerous one.
I need a speakeasy in my own home. Let me get a contractor out.